but they're not one of us. Seems to be an exclusionary refrain that we often hear used in many contexts, from intimidation on the school playground to the more serious social, political, and religious arenas. Just consider for a moment those who say, these migrants will take our jobs. Those Syrian refugees will threaten our security. The community housing on our street will lower our property values. That ecumenical effort and contact with other religious traditions will weaken our faith. My friends, many of those who hold these particular views think they have a monopoly on wisdom and insight. So then the question becomes, who really has a right to say or do what, when, and where? Who's in and who's out? Whose voice or opinion really matters? Who has the vision? Who does not? And as petty as it sounds, questions like this continue to be asked. In our first reading today from the book of Numbers, we hear that Moses took 70 elders outside the camp to the tent of meeting for what almost sounds like an ordination. And there God takes a piece of the spirit of Moses and places it on the 70 elders to help them prophesy on behalf of Moses. But two of the elders, Eldad and Medad, somehow didn't get the memo and remained in the camp and didn't show up at the meeting tent along with the others. But despite not being with the rest of the others, the elders, they received the Spirit. When it was discovered that they had received the prophetic Spirit, Joshua flies into this jealous rage and urges Moses to stop them from prophesying in the camp because these prophets hadn't been legitimized or approved and could become a threat to Moses' position. But Moses wasn't bothered about what had happened and gently helps Joshua understand that the sharing of the Spirit in no way diminishes his authority. The gifts of the Spirit can't be limited, controlled, or relegated to only certain people. In other words, the Holy Spirit blows where it wills. And similarly, in the gospel, we have the same kind of problem as in the first reading. The disciples are all whining like school children, bickering at recess. Someone is driving out demons, but he doesn't follow us. He's not one of our group. So John, one of the disciples, tries to stop this person by raising a question about who could act in Jesus' name. In other words, the person casting out demons was speaking and operating without permission. And as Jesus so often does, he uses the experience to teach the disciples and helps expand their thinking and widen their hearts, and at the same time gives them a lesson in tolerance. Brothers and sisters, Jesus tells the disciples to be careful not to limit God's Spirit, because the Spirit and mission of God were not to be claimed exclusively by the 12, but to be shared with many. Whoever is not against us is for us. Jesus goes on to warn the 12 against an elitist view of discipleship, and that diminishes the good done by those we consider outsiders. Jesus' ministry was not confined to certain people, but was inclusive of all. And Jesus' invitation to proclaim the good news of salvation in both word and work was extended to everyone who would hear and respond to it in Jesus' name. My friends, like Joshua in the first reading, or the disciples in the gospel, what resentments or jealousies do we harbor in our own hearts. When we see the good done by others we disagree with, or those we oppose politically, or those whose agenda doesn't completely match our own. What jealousies do we harbor in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our parish, in this town? Brothers and sisters, sometimes God's grace and God's gifts don't always come in the pathways we expect. It's an unfortunately natural jealous reaction in us that resents that someone isn't a follower of Jesus the right way. And the presence of the Lord working in that person, through that person, because it isn't happening in the approved way. Today, Jesus is making a statement about the importance of thinking inclusively in ministry, whether one is lay or ordained. Jesus responds by telling the disciples that they should see such a person not as a competitor, but as a companion on the journey. In other words, be aware of the presence of God all around you. Be open to those who can teach you and challenge you to look at things differently. Look for God in those you might consider to be outside your circle. In other words, look for God in those unexpected relationships and events. In his apostolic exhortation, The Joy of the Gospel, our Holy Father, Pope Francis, says that we are an inclusive church, not an exclusive church, because an exclusive church is an empty church. And Jesus goes on to say what being with him is all about. In a land where the availability of water can mean the difference between life or death, offering someone a cup of water symbolizes that generous hospitality that should characterize a follower of Jesus. Thus, showing hospitality to another is showing that hospitality to Christ. My friends, as a parish community, how hospitable have we continued to be towards those who were received into full communion at the last Easter Vigil? Or have we forgotten the drama of that night? Do we sometimes label as insiders or outsiders people we think of as family members, relationships at work, fellow parishioners, and neighbors? Wait, he doesn't have a degree. How can he possibly? She's just an usher at the 9 o'clock Mass. What business does she have? In what situations and with whom might we be attempting to stifle God's Spirit? Where are we being called to be more inclusive in how we relate to others and how we view the world? Brothers and sisters, Jesus promises that even the simplest act of love or kindness, the gospel cup of water, will one day be honored by God. Anyone and everyone in need have a claim on our compassion and our charity because they belong to Christ. In whatever opportunities we have, with whomever we meet and are able to help, may we not hesitate to act in Jesus' name. My friends, today Jesus asks us as his disciples what attitudes we must change in order not to exclude others who seek entrance into God's reign. Jesus challenges us to embody his hospitality to all and to become as he is, the revelation of God's freeing and healing love to others. Joshua and John's question about who's who and what's what are not the important question about prophecy, faith, and prayer. The real signs are not in our pedigree or ordination certificate, if you will, but in the real prophetic, prayerful, and faithful ways in which people live their lives, like giving cups of cold water to others or caring for God's little ones. That's where the Spirit may be found, inside and outside the camp. My friends, how lucky we are to have Pope Francis thundering that universal call to holiness of which the Second Vatican Council spoke. Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Amen.